Do you ever drive past someone who's sleeping rough and wonder whether they're getting and how much health care they're receiving? I've got to say I do. I drive past Ziggy, well-known rough sleeper in Turinga, a couple of times a day, and I do wonder about that. As part of a three-year trial, nurses and health professionals have been venturing out onto the streets of Brisbane to provide clinical care for rough sleepers. And 12 months into this trial partnership between Mica Projects and several hospitals, Mica estimates it's already saved the health system more than $2 million. Pathways nurse Sue Anderson and nursing manager Kim Rayner can tell you more. They're both in the studio this morning. Sue, Kim, thank you very much for coming in.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Sue, just give us a sense of what it's like treating people in the streets or on the streets as opposed to in a more clinical environment.
Oh, it's just interesting. It's every day is different. I don't think I'd be able to go back to a normal job, if you like. You just never know exactly what you're going to come across. You can go out in the morning and think that I'm going to see John about his GP appointment, and you can get there and he could be in crisis about his housing. So it all depends on... you just have to be adaptable.
And so would just give us a sense of how it works when you... When you're engaging with people who are rough sleeping, you don't book an appointment to see them, I'm assuming. You just kind of turn up, see who's there at particular locations that you're familiar with?
Well, with the Pathways program, a lot of the people that we see are either in hospital or actually been housed into a boarding house or anything in between. And we try to meet people in the hospital and then from there get them into some sort of accommodation before they leave so they're not being discharged onto the street. There are other teams within MICA if we lose someone, which our population that we assist move around a lot, and there are other teams within MICA that we can call on to assist us to find them if they are sleeping on the street. But it's just interesting. Sorry.
No, interesting is a pretty good word. Kim, can you explain why this is, how this 12-month trial so far, it's a three-year trial, but we're 12 months in, how this differs to what the situation would be without a trial like this?
I think the critical component to this new project is it's quite targeted and it's about a partnership with the public hospitals. So the partnership is with the Royal Brisbane and the PA and also the MARTA, which is one of our key consortium partners in inclusive health. And what we're wanting to do is engage people while they're in hospitals to get greater identification of people who are homeless and at risk, so they're not being discharged onto the street or into substandard accommodation, and that there is a continuum of care model so that we're following people up around their complex health and social needs, around their mental illness, and also looking at their social connectedness and looking at improving their lives. So it's quite targeted and it's quite proactive, and it relies on partnerships and a lot of advocacy and then a lot of skilled outreach and also looking at an integrated model of care. So it's not just about nursing care or healthcare, it's about social support, care and housing. It's about the whole person. So it's quite person-centred. So I think that's what's unique. Previously, we'd be up and down at the hospital quite a lot, and we have a number of nurses working throughout our teams who are doing a similar model of care. I think the difference with this is we have a stronger engagement with the public hospitals here in Brisbane, and it's made a huge difference.
The $2 million saving in 12 months, obviously there's a cost involved in doing what you're doing, but the $2 million net saving is pretty impressive. I mean, it's not $50 or $500 million, but it's $2 million that's been saved, which suggests to me that this will continue, certainly for the remaining 2 years of the trial, but beyond, you've got to think that this is going to continue, or some sort of similar model.
I guess, you know, with the evidence we've got now, because we're into the second year and the evidence is still strong, the outcomes are still significantly strong, you know, we believe that this is a project that's worthy of continued government investment. And we've made sure that we've obviously right from the beginning been building that evidence to assist us with our advocacy, as well as the stories about people's lives. So it costs $239,000 per annum. It's not a lot of money, with some additional support from the Mercy Sisters and also through Mica Projects. And that $2 million was, in terms of cost savings, was for 88 people. So we're into our second year now. We see that this will have gained momentum in terms of cost savings. But I guess the other thing around when you talk about cost savings is it's freeing up capacity within the healthcare system. It's preventing people from being readmitted to hospital. So our reduction rates are at 76%. you know, people aren't returning to hospital. Our reduction in terms of use of ambulances is down by 83%, and our use of ED, you know, admission to ED is down to 76, is up 76% reduction in ED admissions. So it's quite significant when people that we're working with were often high utilisers of the acute care system, because there is an absence of models of care in the community.
Sue, finally back to you. What have you learned from this about why people end up in these sort of situations? I know that you're a healthcare professional, but you also talk, obviously, as you've already said, to people in hospital or as they're being rehoused or once you go and find them again somewhere. At the end of the day, the bigger question is how do we solve the homelessness problem? Any insights?
Well, there's multiple reasons. I mean, I've been shocked by the amount of abuse that a lot of the people that I deal with have gone through in their childhood. You know, there are other people who are just like you or I, who have just, things have gone wrong in their life, maybe a failed marriage and it's continued on from there, lost a job, that sort of thing, people with addiction. You know, their care, they just need someone to listen to. They need a person who will sit there and be there. And the problem with, I suppose, some of the health care that's provided is that it's disjointed. And these people have difficulty communicating. So they end up actually being, you know, shut out of the what we see as a normal health system because of their communication skills.
We make it hard for them to track down exactly what they need and where that help is.
Yep, or they're asked to go to different areas within a hospital which they just can't manage. They've got more concerns about where they're going to sleep tonight, or, you know, I've got a legal case coming up. What am I going to do about that? So their concerns are far bigger than their health. Their health comes last.
Yes.
Like
well,
a lot of us, our health comes last, but, you know, for them it impacts because many have chronic diseases and addictions and mental health issues.
Thank you both for coming in this morning. Congratulations on the first 12 months of the program. Sounds like it's a roaring success. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Smith.
Sue Anderson and Kim Rayner. Sue's a Pathways nurse and Kim Rayner, nursing manager. And 1 year into that three-year trial, the partnership between MICA Projects and several hospitals, and already it's estimated that nurses and health professionals, by venturing out onto the streets of Brisbane, providing clinical care for rough sleepers, has already saved the health system more than $2 million.